All right, welcome to the Young Hustlers Podcast, Episode 2. I'm here with young mogul Charles Morris. Welcome to the podcast, Charles.
What up? What's going on? I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is yet another one of my friends from Babson, who's absolutely been grinding since I knew him. Basically, since the first day I met, I knew he's always been in something entrepreneurial. And something music. His backgrounds are music and marketing, and he really kills it in that game. So what's the what's the first time that you started a company or started a hustle?
To be honest with you, I was asked this the other day. Like, I honestly didn't realize when I started, like, to be real with you, like, we were just doing it for fun with my friend, who's a musician, and we were just, the hustle started just, like, making music, honestly. And then we would go to, like, we would go to these parties. And, like, man, I don't even know how to, I don't even. Basically, like, I used my network. We had this house in high school, right? That, like, I went to a high school that was in the center of Boston. So when we had these parties at this house, people would come from the South Shore and North Shore and everything, and
all around,
I got to meet, like, all these people. So, like, when people ask me who my friends are, it's not just from Belmont where I'm from. It's like I got friends everywhere, and we used those opportunities to start playing the music that he was making at those parties. And then this kid Ross put us on. He kind of caught on to what we were doing, I think, or Kai's movement, and he put us on that show, our first show at Middle East Downstairs. And that was, like, it wasn't Kai's official show, but, like, he was the headliner. And, like, basically brought the party to Middle East Downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit was crazy. And then it blew up. And then we did a show at an art gallery. And they were like, you're only supposed to have 100 people here, and that's it. Bro, when I tell you 500 to 600 people came, and art pieces were, like, fucking on fire. Like,
oh, damn, ass. Really?
And, like, people would, yeah, and that was the hustle.
And so that started, what, freshman year, sophomore year, or what?
In junior year, freshman year. Kai's a grade below me. We would just sit in his room all day, and, like, I'd be emailing, like, blogs about his shit. I think the coolest moment was, there was this blog called Hype Machine, and one day his song Coma was literally, number one was Antidote, Travis Scott, and then Kai number two, and then Kanye, one of Kanye's songs on this fucking blog. And that was like, oh shit. And so that's where the hustle started for me.
Yeah,
and I think my family also had a big aspect. My dad dropped out of college to go on tour with the band. So I don't know. It's in.
Yeah, the music scene's in your blood. Yeah. And you already mentioned the artist Kai, and your official role manager.
I don't manage him. I used to manage him. I run all his marketing and tour stuff, and he's just my best friend. We got a call actually my freshman year at Babson from a dude out in LA, who told us that he found, like, Wiz Khalifa and Nipsey Hussle and all this shit, and we were like, man, I don't know. I didn't believe him. 2 weeks later, he's got Kai out on a flight to LA, and we started working with him ever since. So we've been like a team. I'm not his official manager, but we started a label called Pink Tree Entertainment. So work under all the Kai shit is under Pink Tree Entertainment. Not a lot of people know that.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's a team with three industry cats and myself and two other people out there, and that's what all the Kai stuff is under. He's got some cool shit coming out soon, so
he did his, I don't know if it was his first, but he did a countrywide tour, right?
Yeah, we came off he's done, like, he went on tour with a band called Busty in the Bass. That was his first, like, tour around the country. And then where it got real was he went on tour with Selma, which was, he's a big act, and he was doing, you know, these big rooms across the country. And then he just got off tour with an EDM act called the White Panda.
And, oh, White Panda's big.
Yeah, that was cool, man. And now, now he's just working on a new album.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's well, where...
What has been your probably biggest life lesson or just lesson in general from doing this at such a young age, like in the music industry?
Just talk to everyone. That's one of them. I have a ton. But, like, I honestly, like, I've met so many people over the past couple of years. I met you because I lived across the hall from you. But, like, we talked.
Yeah.
And, like, we became friends. There were kids in that hall that, like, didn't talk to us. And,
that we don't talk to anymore. Don't talk to
anymore. That's the perfect analogy for it. So, like, talk to everyone. Like, don't be shy. That's my biggest thing. That's. And if you want to ask me a question about, like, the music game and marketing game and that shit, or just business in general, my biggest thing is never to ask for anything. That's been my thing. Like, never to, like, if you're, like, never ask a favor, to be honest with you. That's been the biggest thing.
Why not? Do you have, like, another way of asking, or is it just, like...
Provide value for people, and then it will come in return, you know?
Yeah.
Never ask. I mean, if you're tight with the, if you're like, you've been working with the kid for like years, that's different. I'm talking about like
new relationships.
Yeah, new relationships. You just met an industry head and you're asking for backstage passes to a show the next day. Bad look. You'll never hear from that guy again.
Yeah, definitely. And so you have worked, as I touched upon it in the opening, you have worked outside the music industry. The music industry is big for you.
Yeah.
I want to touch on one more thing in the industry. You set up an entire concert, a festival, Bricks Fest. Was that 2 summers ago?
Yeah, I teamed up with a guy from here, Michael Kirsten, and another kid, Neil Quigley, and we were marketing towards, like, it was an alcoholic seltzer company. We were marketing towards, at the beginning, like, corporate events, and something didn't feel right, so I had the idea to just, you know, let's see who's really drinking this. And we found that, you know, it was people are 20, 21 to 25, to, you know, that was the target market. So combine drinks and music on a day and create an experience that people won't forget. And that was the goal. That was, yeah.
Yeah. And were you the lead, and like, how did you handle everything?
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is your first time creating a festival.
This was one of my biggest life experiences, and I met people that, so many people through it, that I literally just came from a dope meeting with this guy that I met at Briggs Fest.
Yeah.
2 years later, and, like, with my business partner, Drew Cigna, who I met in the process of creating Briggs Fest. So, like, I'm extremely grateful for the experience. I learned just a lot, how to, like, all the good shit about music festival, all the bad shit, and yeah, it was dope. I was 20 doing it, and like, I don't know, it was
yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It was cool
you
to
fucking
be,
killed
it. It was cool too to be a college kid and like you working with an alcohol company. I remember they'd give you like 20 packs of 24 packs of running through campus, like shit. Yeah.
That was a fire festival. Yeah. All right, no.
It wasn't Fire Festival. All
right, not actually funny not story. Fire Festival.
Funny story. I was meeting Michael up at a meeting we had, and he was coming from a meeting from a company that I can't say the name of. But in that meeting, the guy said he couldn't ticket Briggs Fest because they were doing ticketing. They were in talks for doing ticketing for Fire Festival. And I heard about, and Michael, because we were scheming, like, we had no idea what we were doing. We were scheming all these marketing ideas for Briggs Fest. And
yeah.
Michael, I'll never forget when we met up before the meeting that we were going into, he was like, dude, this thing's about to drop next week. All these, like, orange squares and, like, Kendall Jenner's about to post this shit. And that's, like, yeah. My biggest regret with Briggs Fest is I didn't know the influencer marketing game. Like, to give that guy credit, he fucking murdered that. Because that shit sold out in a second.
I mean, he also dropped a ridiculous amount of money.
I understand that. I understand that. But, like, I didn't know anything about influencer marketing until, like, a month before the festival.
Yeah.
And that
And at that point, it's kind of tough like, to create he did relationships it with, like, and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and he did it, like, so OD with, like...
The top models in the world.
He got
world.
Both Hadid sisters, like, that. He did it OD. Like, there are ways to do it, like, dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so now, taking it away from the music aspect, you've been in other ventures.
Yeah.
In terms of other ventures, I know the first one, at least that I knew you, you were working with Trevor's company, who was on our first show.
Selling
hemp seeds.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't know the definition of entrepreneurship coming into Babson College. like, I thank Trevor Grody for everything, because he just saw me as this kid who knew a lot of people. And I'll never forget, at like 3 a.m. in North, he like called me into his room and he was like, "Yo, I don't know what the fuck I need you to do, but you know everyone. I want you on my team." And that was it.
Now, was that your first outside of, like, the music
yeah,
industry?
Yeah, that was
your
my first,
hustle?
Like, and I, at the time, I didn't really look at, like, kind of were just having a lot of fun and, like, just, like, making music. That was the era of SoundCloud. So,
yeah.
Like, we were taking advantage of, like, the SoundCloud playlist and everything. And,
mm-hmm.
like, but, yeah, that was my first, like... business. I didn't even know what hemp was.
So what were your companies after that that you worked for?
I started one with you.
Yeah, the connector,
which was a cool.
Was that your next one after working with Trev?
Yeah. I worked at like a nuclear reactor company called Elysium Industries. Which was a cool. I learned a lot of like aspects of the hustle from the two. I love those guys, Matt Hayes and Carl Perez. Shout out to them because they're hustlers. They're still going at it today. And then did the connector, which was a cool concept. Just bringing everyone together.
Yeah.
But like throughout all of it, man, I didn't know like my like passions. To be honest, like
I agree 100%.
Yeah,
I think we
didn't have a direction at all.
I think it was like. I don't know how you felt about it, but I felt like, oh, this is dope, like, we're starting a company. For me, it was my first one ever.
Yeah.
Right?
We had a concept.
And we had a cool concept. It's just everyone was finding out their different passions.
Yeah.
And there came a point in the company that everyone wanted to do, like, something different that aligned more with their passions and not with the company. You
yeah,
know?
And, like, we would get potential clients in, like, different industries that we had no idea about, but we know people. That was the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
We knew people in the industry, but I didn't really have any passion, like, going to reach out to those, like, for, I don't even know what fields,
yeah.
Like, a tax app, man. I don't have any interest in that. Like,
I mean, I got fucking thrown into the fire with all, like, the financial,
yeah.
And, like, the
yeah.
Lost stuff. Like, learned a shit ton, but
shit
as you said, like, definitely not passion.
Shit show.
Wasn't
yeah.
that bad.
Nah. It was cool.
So, what after that?
I think, after Briggsfest, was a big point in my life, because I started working really closely with my partner, Andrew Signa, who, is a exceptional photographer and videographer, works with acts like Post Malone and Lil Skies. He shot everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And we started working on putting together like shows, and like we were doing like we had a college tour planned, and we're working on another festival, and we got funding for another festival. I can't say where and what it was about, but the last like 2 weeks going into it before we were about to book a big ass name, the investor pulled out, and that one hurt, because like it was five times the amount that this was going to be, like bigger, it was going to be bigger than what
Briggsfest
what
was.
We had planned with Briggsfest, and that one hurt, and I kind of just took a break from the whole, I was stressed out. Like,
yeah.
The music business is fucking stressful, dude. Like,
yeah.
It's like, and a lot of shady shit goes down. And, like, I took a break, and I actually transferred over and worked in the ad agency field for, like, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Working for a company and,
yeah.
Like, not, like, being on my own shit. And I had so much fun. And I also met some people over at Live Nation who put me on to do just... it was an after work hustle, like just doing social media for their restaurants. And that actually is what leads me to what I'm doing now. It's just digital media for restaurants and concert venues and festivals, and yeah. Basically combining.
That's 17 new. That's right? 17. You're new company.
Yeah, that's 17. Yeah, and it's going dope. We're having a lot of fun with it. There's no time. I mean, I might get tired sometime, but there's no time where I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah. You know? You found your passion.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit more about 17 Newbury? And then I know also on the side, you're doing speaker shows at Harvard.
Yeah. Yeah. The Harvard thing's dope. I do that with I help my friend out over at Harvard, two friends out, Miles Weddle and Marcello, and Drew and I are involved with that. And basically what it is just educating students and in the Boston area about the music industry from some of these big names who have already made it. And it's just, it's been awesome. Our biggest one was Travis Scott 2 months ago. That was like honestly one of the best days ever. It was so dope. And but we had guys like Dre London, who I honestly think is like the best manager in the game right now. Mm-hmm. He's Post Malone's manager, but what people don't know is that he's got like 4 or 5 other artists under him that he's just fucking, like, one just signed a $2 million deal today with Epic Records. Damn. And he's just killing it, and like he just knows what to do. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the coolest. And then we had the guys from Love Renaissance. They managed Black and Drum, and we got a cool lineup coming this spring, so that'll be cool.
That's awesome. And then any do you want to touch on 17 Newbury at all, and what you're doing there?
Yeah, 17 Newbury is a combination of digital media account management, like social media account management, influencer marketing, and then my two biggest loves in this world, food and music. And it's dope. Like, we go to work during the day and shoot restaurants and then manage their accounts, and then we're at shows at night, and it's fun. It's fun. Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah. All right, and now as we're at the end of the show, yeah. What we did last time with Trevor, we asked him, he does a lot on hemp, we asked him what he thought the future of hemp and the hemp industry was. So now that you're in music and you're a big guy in the music, what do you think the future, let's say the next 5 years hold for the music industry?
The next 5 years in the music industry. I think the biggest thing today is just making yourself relevant for the long term and doing things right. That's why I stress Dre's formula is like, I think the thing right now that's the biggest thing is Spotify playlists. If you're not on Spotify playlist, it's not like SoundCloud where it's how SoundCloud, like Spotify is how SoundCloud used to be. And I don't mean that, I don't mean that, like SoundCloud in my opinion is kind of dying, and the value of getting on those Spotify playlists is fucking, it's crazy. And you know, whenever one of Dre's artists drops a song, man, it's on every fucking playlist, and he knows everyone in the game, and you know. And that's why every one of Post Malone's songs are a hit. Or that's why this Tyler Yahweh kid just signed a $2 million deal with Epic today. It's because playlists, and they got other artists too that are crazy. So to answer your question, Spotify playlists, and yeah.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much for coming out. All you out there, follow @17Newbury on Instagram. Yeah. See what Charles is up to. Thank you.